Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, and I hope that each of you enjoys a wonderful day with family and loved ones, enjoying the bounty of God's rich blessings that He has given to us in this great nation. As we prepare for that day, let's think a little bit together today about our gratitude for the things that God has given us. It has been said that the two most important words in the English language are thank you. They are part of the etiquette of life that is universal to all cultures and all times. To express gratitude is something that we teach our children from an early age and which we expect them to do without fail in every circumstance. It is a demonstration of what we used to call good manners. One of the reasons why we are so adamant in teaching this to our children is that we all appreciate it when someone thanks us for a service rendered or a kindness offered. We also dislike it very much when someone fails to show gratitude for something we have done for them. They are two small words, to be sure, but they are very important to us. At this time of year, our nation takes time to offer a collective thank you to God for the abundant blessings that He has provided for us here. It is a holiday that goes back to the roots of our nation's founding, and one that is uniquely North American. Of all the nations on the earth, the United States and Canada are the primary ones who celebrate a day of thanks to God. There are two or three other small nations who have what they call a Thanksgiving Day, but these celebrations are not quite the same, since they are not based primarily on the purpose of giving thanks to Almighty God. While giving thanks to God is deeply rooted in our nation's history, it did not originate with our ancestors who first set foot on this continent. It is, in fact, deeply rooted in the history of God's people, going back at least as far as Moses. For a few moments today, we will reflect upon this heritage of giving thanks to God. We will notice how it was expressed in the Old Testament law and in some of the Psalms. Then we will observe how it is manifested in the New Testament. From this, we will see why it is so important for us to always give thanks to our Father in heaven. Among the many ordinances contained in the law of Moses, the Israelites were required to bring certain offerings to the priest to be sacrificed before the Lord. There were five major offerings, each with its own particular emphasis. These offerings were, number one, the burnt offering, number two, the grain offering, number three, the peace offering, number four, the sin offering, and number five, the guilt offering. Now, except for the grain offering, which by its name indicates that it was not an animal sacrifice, each of the other offerings involved killing a particular animal before the altar and offering some or all of it on the altar to be consumed by fire. They also involved pouring some of the blood on or around the altar. In all but the guilt offering, the priests received a portion of the offering for their own consumption. The particular offering in which we are interested for purposes of our study today is the peace offering. This offering was the only one in which the worshiper consumed some of the meat from the offering. The peace offering was a special offering given to express one's fellowship with the Lord and as an affirmation of the covenant relationship that existed between the Lord and Israel. There were three types of peace offerings in the Old Testament. Number one, the freewill offering, which was given when the worshiper had no other obligation to give an offering, but wished to make a sacrifice to God. Number two, the votive offering, which was given in connection with a vow made to God. And number three, the thanksgiving offering, which was given in response to God's favor. For the Lord to have instituted a thanksgiving offering in the law of Moses suggests that He expected His people to express their gratitude to Him for the blessings that He showered upon them. While there was no prescribed occasion when the people were required to make such an offering to God, they understood that they should do so on a regular basis. Like a good parent who teaches his children to say thank you, God was teaching Israel the importance of showing gratitude to Him and, by extension, to each other. Even though the thanksgiving offering was essentially a free will offering, God required that it meet His standards as to its contents and as to how it was offered. The details of this are found in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 through 36. An interesting part of the Lord's requirement is found in verses 19 through 20. Here the scripture says, "Also the flesh that touches anything unclean shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. As for the other flesh, anyone who is clean may eat such flesh. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which belong to the Lord in his uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from his people." Now the law of Moses required that a person giving a thanksgiving offering to the Lord must be ceremonially clean as he did so. This means that he could not have done anything to affect his purity before the Lord and still offer his sacrifice. He must first make himself clean before the Lord, and then he could offer the sacrifice and consume his portion of it. The principle that applies to us, I believe, is that when we give thanks to God, we must do so from a pure heart. Anything that would keep us from being right with God, such as sin or insincerity, makes our expression of thanks unclean and therefore unacceptable. Giving thanks was an important part of the law of Moses, but we need to understand that the principle transcends the law of Moses. This truth can be seen from the number of times the various forms of the word thank is found in the scriptures. There are 139 places where some form of this word is used. In addition to this, there are 27 places in which the word thanksgiving appears in the scriptures. This certainly suggests that the Lord intended for his people under both covenants to be people who expressed thanksgiving to him. One of the places in Scripture that captures the spirit of what the Lord desires from us is Psalm 100. In most of our English Bibles, it is entitled A Psalm of Thanksgiving. The unnamed psalmist wrote these words, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." Now, this very short psalm summarizes the reasons why we should give thanks to God and the underlying attitude that should characterize our giving of thanks. In verses 1 and 2, we see that our expressions of thanks to God should be marked by our unbounded joy. The psalmist says to shout joyfully to the Lord. He adds that we should serve him with gladness and joyful singing. These are expressions that describe an attitude that is bubbling over with enthusiasm. It is an imperfect illustration, perhaps, but think of how young children react to presents under a brightly lit tree on Christmas morning, or to their first trip to an amusement park. They squeal with delight and they smile from ear to ear. They are effusive in their joy and in their expressions of gratitude for what their parents have done for them. In a sense, this is how we should react to our Father in heaven for all that he has done for us. True gratitude is expressed with happiness and with enthusiasm. The reasons for giving enthusiastic thanks to God are several in this psalm. In verse 3, it is because he is God. He made us and we belong to him. In verse 5, it is because he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness extends to all generations. Each of these reasons underscores what our perspective should be in life. You see, he is God. No one or nothing else is such. He is the one who created all things, not us. Part of the condemnation of the unbelievers in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 is that they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. If our perspective is on ourselves, as though we alone are responsible for all the blessings that have come upon us, we will not be thankful to God, will we? At the heart of our thankfulness to God is the fact that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The imagery of a shepherd is a central element in portraying God's care for us. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, Jesus described himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd provides for every need of his sheep, including their protection from all enemies. He even goes so far as to lay down his life for his sheep. The psalmist captures this truth in Psalm 100. We are to be thankful to God because we are helpless without him. He provides for all our physical needs in life, and he is preparing a place for us in heaven when life is over. If we cannot be enthusiastically joyful in giving thanks to him for this, then for what can we be thankful? One final element in Psalm 100 needs to be considered. In verse 5, the psalmist extols the fact that God may be relied upon to shower his love and mercy on us to the end of time. We are to be enthusiastically thankful to God because he will continue to provide his blessings without fail. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, there is nothing that will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, if we cannot be joyously thankful for this, for what can we be thankful? The practice of making a thanksgiving offering to God is not solely an Old Testament expression. As a matter of fact, we who are Christians have even more reasons to offer thanksgiving sacrifices to God than our Old Testament ancestors. They saw only a shadow of the good things to come, while we live in the light of the fulfillment of all of God's good promises. They longed to see the Savior. We who are Christians have been united with him by baptism into the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. They eagerly awaited and anticipated the messianic kingdom, but we who are Christians actually live in it. As Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, God delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Certainly, if our Old Testament ancestors had reason to offer thanksgiving to God, we have even more reason to do so today. Our Old Testament ancestors, of course, brought gifts to the priest to be sacrificed on the altar before God. We, on the other hand, bring our lives as living sacrifices, which is our spiritual service of worship, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We offer prayers and supplication to God with thanksgiving, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. And we joyfully sing and make melody in our hearts as we speak psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another, always giving thanks to God through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. For all that God is, and for all that he has done for us, let us give thanks, not just one day a year, but every day of our lives. In Psalm 100, verse 4, the last phrase of that verse says this: give thanks to him, bless his name. Now, this phrase to bless has several connotations. The most common one is to bestow a gift on another. This is how the word applies to what we have received from God. He has blessed us. He has showered upon us all his good gifts. A second connotation is the one intended in this part of Psalm 100. To bless in this instance means to praise or to extol. When we thank God, we bless his name. That is, we praise him for what he has given us. This also is why we should always give thanks to him, because in so doing, we praise him to all who see us doing this. In this way, we bless his holy name. The call of Scripture is for us to bless God's name. Part of the way we do this is by giving thanks to him every day for everything that he has done for us. May we never be guilty of failing to show our gratitude to our God and Father in heaven. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.